Good morning, everyone. Already in the second day of our retreat, I trust you are able to continue the practice as best as you can, during the breaks as well as in the sitting itself. The practice is not so difficult or so complicated. I trust you have already seen the real difficulty, the real hindrance is our wandering, wavering mind. Nothing else. Sitting in Zazen is not difficult. It's what the mind does with it. Truly, genuinely, sitting in Zazen meditation is the simplest thing in the world. It's not even one. It's before there is one. How can that be difficult? It cannot. What makes it seem difficult is the mind, splitting it into two. This is not even one. Thus, it's completely free, especially of itself. We don't need to seek, chase after something. It is that very seeking which keeps the wavering mind wavering. Thus you have 100 doubts, 100 questions, 100 aches and pains, basically because you are not practicing. Let the body be in the right, correct posture for what we are doing, sustained, continuous Zazen. You have to do this. Nobody can tell you how. Of course, guidance and proper posture and so on can be helpful, but you have to go through it with your own body. Nobody can do that for you, and nobody has the same body. So you have to do it yourself by finding out what works and what doesn't. Don't be a slave to every little itch or pain in your body. But don't indulge in the most comfortable posture either, because you will probably just fall asleep. Find the correct, proper posture for what we are doing, sustained Zazen. So the back is naturally erect, not forced, artificial, like a wall or a broomstick, but following the natural curvature of the spine. The shoulders relaxed, nose in line with the belly, allowing the breath to bring all of that energy together. Get out. to get out of the head and all of the wandering, wavering thoughts, it's very helpful through the breath to bring that focus down below the navel or the belly button. But it shouldn't get stuck there either. Just let it breathe right on through, as if you're breathing down into the base, the foundation, the ground itself, and then breathing from there as well. The mind needs to do this to unify, because it is not one, it is split. The mind needs to, in a sense, go through this process. That's the virtue, the value of genuine zazen. It's allowing this mind to return to the original unity that it is, so that it can then dissolve. If we hold on to that, well, we're just carrying around another delusion. But as a process, because the mind is split, it's here, but it's not. It's concentrated, but it's also one. You have to see what your mind is doing. If you are serious, you cannot avoid it. The mind, by its very nature, the self-centered mind is split. It's split. There's life, and there's death. There's good, and there's evil. It's inevitable. You cannot think your way out of it. Think as much as you will. As I said last night, think until the cows come home. It will make no difference whatsoever. Doubt about this, doubt about that, doubt about this, doubt about that. You're wasting your time. The mind, the self-centered mind, is by its very nature split. That's why practice is necessary. But the practice must be done correctly, or you simply continue that delusion. I've seen people do it for decades, even become so-called teachers, and they're simply carrying around their same delusion. It's tragic. Please don't make that mistake. That mind must come to its own end. That mind must come to its own end so that you can see what is here before you split it in two. Before it's this or that, faith or doubt, good or bad, better or worse, illusion or enlightenment. Before all of that, tell me, what is it? What is it? That's all that one-on-one is for. After the Dharma talk, we will begin the one-on-one in order. Don't bring your doubts and confusions and pains there. They have no place. Just this. Beware. Koans can be very helpful in this practice. You see, a koan is a way of bringing the mind to a standstill, to a stop. Because it can't work its way around. It can't figure it out. Precisely, yes. The mind, in a very good way, gets stuck. Wait a minute. It can't move that way because that doesn't help. It can't move that way because I've already done that 100 times. It can't go forward. It can't go backward. But it can't stay where it is. This is the classic Zen expression. When you get there, then the practice becomes intimate. When you, the self-centered self, can no longer do anything about it.
Yes.
Then what? Then what? When all of your toolbox of contrivances, tricks, and games that you play, when you've put that aside because you see it doesn't help in the least, when you are left in a very good way with nothing, not a thing, there is where you may enter. There is where you may enter. To simply cogitate and think up more thoughts and more ideas, even more koans, it's toxic. It's a kind of poison. It's a kind of turning Zen into role-playing or game-playing. It's got to be this one here and now. You, the one that is asking, the one that doesn't know, that one, directly and immediately. You can't turn it into an object. Precisely. You can't turn it into an object. It cannot be objectified, to be more precise. You can objectify it endlessly, but you'll never get there that way. You're just left with the shadow, the reflection of it. You already know because you've done it 10,000 times. You can't get there from here. The mind that is seeking must come to its own end. You, here and now, must see how you are feeding that mind. And then saying, oh, it's so difficult. Let me feed it some more. Well, it can't go on if you don't feed it. It can't. It's not self-sustaining. It doesn't have any existence on its own. It continues because you feed it. You feed it because you don't know what else to do. It's what you've done all your life. That must come to its own end once and for all. Otherwise, you cannot begin genuine Zen Buddhist practice. That is what a retreat is for. That is why we sit the way we sit. That is why we breathe the way we breathe. That is why we hold the focus. If we have the breath, that's fine. That will do. Just being one with that breath until it itself dissolves. That will do. If you wish to try and do real shikantaza, as it's called, or just sitting through, okay, this is a very difficult practice that I hardly know any Westerners who are able to even approach it, but it's a very pure practice. But to actually just sit without the mind and without the body, fully present, you can try that. A koan, in a way, is a helpful means to bring your mind to that stop. Not to generate thoughts about it. No, completely the opposite. It's to stop all of that wavering mind. If you're really working on a koan, the mind must come to its own end. That's what the koan is for. It's not to generate ideas, thoughts, kensho experiences. This has nothing to do with it. It's a part of the disease. Once again, this very mind that is now seeking, whether it understands or it doesn't, makes no difference. This very seeking mind must come to its own end. You do that by no longer feeding it. you have to see how you are feeding it, how you just automatically, in computer they speak of the default, huh? You just automatically go to thinking about it. Well, you know already it doesn't work, but that's what your mind does. Well, that's why discipline, sustained meditation practice is necessary. You can sit here in full lotus till the cows come home, till the end of your life, and you will be none the wiser if you are not able to give all of yourself. Once you see what this is, how can you not give all of yourself? It's only because you're indulging in these delusions, these fantasies that you create, and then say, oh, but that's not it, is it? Okay, maybe it's this one. No, I already did that. Okay, how about that one? Okay. Well, how about one of those big not anyone one? Yeah, one. It's mental masturbation. The mind must come to its own end. Zazen is simply not feeding the delusion anymore. Not feeding the delusion anymore. Not running outside, and in a sense, not running inside either. This whole idea of, oh, I go inside myself. Well, that's another delusion. Now, who is the one that makes that distinction in the first place? Huh? That's the one. Who is the one that distinguishes inside and outside? You have to see through that or you're wasting your time. Right here. This. There is nothing else. Right here. This. It's staring you in the face, but you run away from it. And then you say, oh, it's so difficult. No, it's not. You're difficult. Your wavering mind is the difficulty. Nothing else. Nothing else. Don't escape into diversions. But my knee hurts. Well, if you stand up for 8 hours, your legs will hurt. If you sleep too long, your body will ache. Yeah, what about it? You have a body, you have a mind. Get to the bottom of it. Get to the bottom of it. Then you will know immediately, directly, realize it for yourself. It's not a part from you right here and now, but it must be realized, and it can only be realized when that wavering, wandering mind comes to its own end. Otherwise, you get a glimpse, yeah. They say like a horse racing by the window. Saw something, but I don't know. Just something went by, no. When the mind comes to its own end, well, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. But because your mind continues like a cat chasing its tail, well, you kind of get a sense. Yeah, I think I understand. Yesterday I was a good sitting. Nonsense. Nonsense. That very mind must come to its own end if you are to begin genuine. Don't use a koan just to generate more mental masturbation. That's not what a koan is for. You have what you need, but you need to clearly realize it, manifest it, actualize it in body, breath, and mind. Otherwise, it's useless. It's less than useless. It becomes itself another hindrance. We have everything we need here. Meals are given to us. A place to rest. Beautiful place to take walks. even beautiful weather, Don't waste your time continuing your dreams and delusions. You've been there 1,000 times. You know they don't truly satisfy. So drop it once and for all and come right here to this and do not waver. If you can't do that, see what you're doing wrong and correct it. You have to see, there's no magic here, you have to see what your mind is doing. That's all, no more, no less. If you don't do that, you can be sitting in front of Gautama Buddha and it won't do any good. You must do the work yourself. It can't be avoided. It can't be avoided. But you have what you need. It's overflowing. But until the mind comes to its own end, you can't fully realize it. You can't really see it for what it is. And this is what a real practice is for. No more, no less. It's not necessary, but one of the important Zen mondo or exchanges in early Zen really helps to bring this home. It also helps to make clear Jack and Jill from last night, those two people who dug down, went up to the mountain, and finally realized that it was here all along. It's an exchange, a mondo exchange between two of the great early Zen masters, Seigen. We often pronounce, they're Chinese monks, but we pronounce them in Japanese because of the Japanese Zen tradition. Seigen and Sekito. Seigen and Sekito. Sekito had studied for a little bit and practiced for a little bit with the sixth patriarch of Chinese Zen. But the sixth patriarch of Chinese Zen died when Sekito was probably still a teenager. Though he was very depressed, very saddened with this. And he decided just to sit there as his master had taught him to sit in meditation. And one of the senior monks realized the mistake and said, "What are you doing?" And Sekito said, "Well, the sixth patriarch has passed away, so I'm just going to sit here." And then the senior monk had a good eye, so he said, "You will waste your life this way. No, that's not what you need to do. The master is gone. If you sit like this for the rest of your life, it will be to no result. Go and visit Seigen." This was another early Zen master. "Go and visit Seigen." So Sekito followed his lead and went to visit Seigen. When Sekito got to Seigen's place, Seigen asked, "Where have you come from?" And Sekito said, "I have come from the monastery of the sixth patriarch, who recently passed away." "Oh. Tell me, what did you bring with you? What did you bring with you?" Well, Sekito already had some experience, so he said, "Nothing that I didn't already have before I left. I realize I already had it. Nothing. I didn't bring anything that I didn't already have with me. I'm not seeking for something anymore." So again, what have you brought with you? "Nothing that I didn't already have." Then the Master Seigen says, "Then why did you go?" Good question. Why did you go? Sekito said, "If I hadn't have gone, how would I have realized?" You're right, but if I didn't actually go, if I didn't actually do that, how could I realize it for myself? in a sense. If I didn't dig that hole in the backyard and got water, or in the bottom of my house and destroyed it, if I didn't go up that mountain and see, well, it's not here either. If I didn't come back down and then find, oh, it is under your feet, isn't it? It must be realized. What do you need to do to realize that? Where do you need to go? To Seigen's place? To domicilium? To your cushion? What kind of a fantasy are you going to make up, huh? If I solve that koan, if I sit deeply enough, long enough, perfectly enough. This is all just more mental masturbation. You can see that, can't you? It's escaping from this. Does anyone have a question or concern from out of the practice, or something that you didn't understand? Please, for the benefit of all, feel free to speak up. Yes, Werner.
Yeah. Well, in mine, I had that idea that I know all about myself is separated, and that's well, that's what I have to embody, and then all is okay. And that I just realized that that was an illusion as well. And I hold on that a long time.
That's the interesting thing about Zen, because in Buddhism, it's very rational, very clearly explained, step-by-step process, Four Noble Truths, Eightfold Noble Path, 26 different sense perceptions, 78 different, you know, so brilliant, it's brilliant. But it's all based on that division. It's all based on the self being separate from itself. Zen, done properly, Zen is considered a shortcut. You know a shortcut, huh? A shortcut, because as Indian Buddhism developed, it became so top-heavy, so many different categories, so many different ways of splitting up the self, six senses, the object of the six senses, the actual sense perception, right? We've already got six, threes, or 18. Then there's seeing that in the past, seeing that in the present, or seeing that in the future. It goes on and on. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But we can end up just endlessly, huh? Calculating, huh? Dividing up the self. So in one way, it's a bit simplistic, but in a way, Zen tries to turn it on its head, you see, by saying instead of creating another set of categories, another way of seeing it, what if we directly go to the source itself? Who is that one? Who is that, if you want to call it, divided one? Who is that? Or the undivided one. There's another division, isn't it? Oh, we've got the divided one over here. Get rid of that. Now we have the undivided one here, right? Hold on to that. Talk about mental masturbation. You see? See? Who makes that distinction? That's what you realize. Huh? Who makes that distinction in the first place? It is, in English, we say null and void. You know what that means? When something has been done, or it's finished, or there's something wrong, there's a stamp that says null and void, no longer valid, no longer good. Null and void.
Null und nichtig wäre das in Deutsch.
Who makes that very distinction? Can that one be divided? Does it need to be divided? When you see that the whole world is at your feet, the whole universe is here at your feet, and you want to get enlightened. Interesting, isn't it? If the self's not divided, how could you have that desire in the first place? Huh? The sun, what, 93 million miles away? It takes a little over 9 minutes for the sunlight to reach us here, to warm our cheeks. Huh? You go outside and feel it. The sunlight is coming 93 million miles in about 9 minutes, and you can feel it warm your cheeks. But you want to get enlightened? What else can you say about that, Werner? Is the self divided or undivided?
Hmm? Yes, it's divided. I realize it. And well, the way to get through is just to stuck in that what I'm stucking in, pain or whatever, and, well, just doing nothing. Just waiting.
Waiting? Maybe better to say doing nothing, but being fully there.
Yeah.
But being fully there. Not waiting. Waiting is still doing something. Huh?
Okay, I'm not waiting.
You're not waiting anymore. Please don't do that. Those strange Zen expressions start to make real sense then, don't they, huh? Striving itself is to go astray. Well, but we have to realize it, right? Well, yes and no. When that seeking mind comes to its own end, you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. It's impossible. Divide yourself up to 5, 10, 15, 20 if you want. It doesn't matter. It's all one. Dogen has a nice expression about it. You cut, let's often, the practice with the real koan has said, it's like cutting through a bunch of threads. One cut and all is cut. It's not like a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, another koan. No. That's just part of the dis-ease. One cut and all is cut. We also say one cut cuts all in two. One cut and all is cut in two. But Dogen says one cut cuts all in one. One cut cuts all in one. Then there is nowhere to seek. There's nowhere to wait, is there? There's no need. What are we waiting for? More sunlight? A bigger room? What are we waiting for? Huh? Tell me that, and your practice is done. What are you waiting for? Huh? Oh, some experience that will solve all my problems, that will put that divided self back together again. What a bunch of horseshit. It's because you don't see what is right here and now that you go seeking. Do you want to say anything else further?
No.
Would anyone else please feel free? Barbara?
If we would come to this point, if it's possible that everybody could come to this point where you said we are here and we see what is would the world be a better place than or
find out. Why do you ask that question? Why don't you let the mind come to rest and see? Of course we can say, yes, if everyone was enlightened, what a wonderful world it would be. But that's also escaping it. You see how you've already separated yourself from it, right? If I get there, where?
Yeah.
Where? Where? Get there and find out. We still have a few more minutes if there's a question or concern from out of the practice or something you don't understand. Again, for the benefit of all, please feel free to speak up.
If there's nothing and if there's nobody, who can find out this?
Good question. Who? Who asked that question, Ursula?
I don't know. If there's not nobody.
That's just a mental masturbation, isn't it? No. If there's nobody. Who's asking the question? Who's asking the question? Until that's clear, there'll be somebody and nobody and everybody. And who is asking that question?
Can't answer. I don't know it.
It's all right there. It's all right there. Who says that? Who says there's nobody? Is that somebody? Is that nobody? You see why sometimes masters hit their students?
Okay.
It's an act of compassion, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little out of place in modern times. You know, to use violence. You don't need to do that. But you need to see who generates your endless questions. In 5 minutes from now, you'll generate another question, right? And then another one.
No.
And then another one.
No.
No? I've seen it for 10 years now. Haven't you? You will generate one question after another, after another, after another. Because you don't see who is asking. Who is that? Once, see directly and immediately there. Otherwise, it will go on and on and on. You know that, Ursula. You know that. Who is this one? Shining bright. There's no division there. You have to, if I use the word, grasp it there, immediately, directly, not as an if. As you said, if, and if, and there is no if. Immediately and directly, otherwise it's endless, Ursula, it's endless. This one who is now asking, this one who is now confused, perhaps, or this one who is now very, very clear and understands. Okay, who is that one? Who is it? Who is it? It has no beginning and no end. But it must be realized. Otherwise, round and round and round we go.
The next question is coming.
you see? So, I'm sorry, I will not entertain endless questions, because they're endless. You have to see you're wasting your time. And you have to ask directly into the source. The one who is now asking. That one, right there. There's no other way. So a few more minutes, if anyone has a question or concern, please feel free. Yes?
I was asking myself, how come we're so scared to look at this? Everybody is spending everything they have to just go around and get away from this, so what's so scary about it? I don't know.
Oh, you might
Everybody
look into that.
Is scared.
Huh? Yeah, what is it?
We got here to actually we get here and say, yes, we want to get there, we want to look at it. At least that was the reason I came here. And then I sit here and I realize I do everything to not look there. All the time, that's all I do actually, even here.
That's an important thing.
Why is this?
Well, it's an important thing to realize, first of all, that that is what you're doing. You see that? That's important to be able to see that, because most people spend their life and they will never see that. Because that is their life. You follow? That is their life. And so they're constantly on the run. You understand? They're constantly on the run, and then they wonder, why am I so tired? So it's a very valuable thing to clearly see in your own life, in your own practice, what your mind is doing. What your mind is doing. Why? Well, the simple answer is, what have you been doing for the last 30, 40, 50 years? The same thing, right? So you expect it to stop just like that? It can stop, but you have to see what your mind is doing. That's right. And you're seeing that. Again, that is important and valuable, but it's not enough, is it? It's not enough. That's why we have sustained practice. In a sense, all we're doing here is not playing that game anymore, refusing to escape into something. You already know it doesn't go anywhere, correct? It's clear, right? You can think the most enlightened thoughts you want. You just end up here with a sore knee anyway, right? So, if you really see that, You really see that. What is it that you're afraid of? Many people realize they're afraid of losing themselves, of disappearing. Myself, I'll lose myself. They're half right. They're half right, but they're half wrong. Why? Because when you really see it through, it's clear. What you should be afraid of is living the rest of your life deluded. Isn't that what you should be afraid of? Playing out those same old patterns that lead nowhere for the rest of your life. Not satisfied with it, but not knowing what else to do. That's maybe a good definition of hell. Again, to live the rest of your life deluded. That's what you should be afraid of. Isn't it true?
Yes, definitely. But that's something I know. I can imagine.
But that fear, yeah, that fear that you talk about, well, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, everyone is carrying this delusion around in some way or another. And naturally, fears, desires, urges arise. But to really see clearly, it can be scary when you first see it. Oh my God, I'm just playing these old movies over and over again. For what? But if you can see that clear, if you can see that far, right there. The only thing to really be afraid of is to continue that delusion. That's what you should be afraid of. Then that can inspire you to practice. I will not fall into that again. I cannot go there again. I will not waste my life in dreams and delusions. In a way, this is a kind of a conscious decision, a kind of a vow, if you like. And then to live your life in accord with that. Will you do it perfectly? No, it doesn't matter though. You will do it though. You will refuse to play that game. Will it just disappear like that? No. Sometimes the Zen books can sound like that, can't they? Very simple. Ooh, he hits you on the head with a radish and you're enlightened. Well, okay, but there was probably something before that. But you've already seen what your mind is doing. That's very valuable. Now, put it into practice. Bring it to life. Refuse to play that game. And where are you left? You're left right here. Right here. Take a good look at what right here really is. And you won't go searching again. Okay. You want to say anything else? Again, thank you. I'm sure that what you bring up is helpful for others as well.